them in listless fashion. There was some barking, but it had that same thick, snory quality, and Gianelli felt he could live with it. Besides, anyone coming from the camp to check on the makeshift kennel would be carrying a flashlight, and he would have plenty of time to fade back into the woods. But no one had come. Billy listened with horrified fascination as Gianelli told him calmly how he had sat nearby, dry-smoking a camel and watching the pit bulls die. Most of them had gone very quietly, he reported. Was there the faintest tinge of regret in his voice? Billy wondered uneasily. Probably because of the dope they had already been fed. Two of them had very mild convulsions. That was all. All in all, Gianelli felt, the dogs were not so badly off. The gypsies had had worse things planned for them. It was over in a little less than an hour. When he was sure they were all dead, or at least deeply unconscious, he had taken a dollar bill from his wallet and a pen from his breast pocket. On the dollar bill he wrote, "Next time it could be your grandchildren, old man. William Halleck says to take it off." The pit bulls had worn twists of clothes rope for collars. Gianelli tucked the bill under one of them. He hung the foul-smelling coat on one of the corral posts and put the hat on top of it. He removed the sneakers and took his own shoes from his hip pockets. He put them on and left. Coming back, he said, he had gotten lost for a while and had ended up taking a header in the bad-smelling boggy place. Finally, however, he had seen farmhouse lights and gotten himself oriented. He found the woods road, got into his car, and started back toward Bar Harbor. He was halfway there, he said, when the car started to feel not right to him. He couldn't put it any better or make it any clearer. It just didn't seem right anymore. It wasn't that it looked different or smelled different. It just didn't seem right. He had had such feelings before, and on most occasions they had meant nothing at all. But on a couple, I decided I wanted to ditch it, Gianelli said. I didn't want to take even a little chance that one of them might have had insomnia, been walking around, seen it. I didn't want them to know what I was driving, because then they could fan out, look for me, find me. Find you. See? I do take them serious. I look at you, William, and I got to. So he had parked the car on another deserted side road, pulling the distributor cap, and had walked the 3 miles back into town. When he got there, dawn was breaking. After leaving Billy in his new Northeast Harbor quarters, Gianelli had cabbed back toward Bar Harbor, telling the driver to go slow, because he was looking for something. "What is it?" the driver asked. "Maybe I know where it is." "That's all right," Gianelli replied. "I'll know it when I see it." And so he had. About 2 miles out of Northeast Harbor, he had seen a Nova with a for sale sign in the windshield sitting beside a small farmhouse. He checked to make sure the owner was home, paid off the cab, and made a cash deal on the spot. For an extra 20, the owner, a young fellow, Gianelli said, who looked like he might have more head lice than IQ points, had agreed to leave his main plates on the Nova, accepting Gianelli's promise to send them back in a week. "I might even do it, too," Gianelli said thoughtfully. "If we're still alive, that is." Billy looked at him sharply, but Gianelli only resumed his story. He had driven back toward Bar Harbor, skirting the town itself, and heading out along 37A toward the gypsy camp. He had stopped long enough to call a person he would only identify to Billy as a business associate. He told the business associate to be at a certain pay telephone kiosk in Midtown, New York, at 12:30 p.m. This was a kiosk Gianelli used often, and due to his influence, it was one of the few in New York that was rarely out of order. He drove by the encampment, saw signs of activity, turned around a mile up the road, and cruised back. A makeshift road had been carved through the hayfield from 37A to the camp, and there was a car heading up it to 37A. "A Porsche Turbo," Gianelli said. "Rich kid's toy. Decal in the back window that said Brown University. Two kids in the front, three more in the back. I pulled up and asked the kid driving if there were gypsies down there like I'd heard. He said they were, but if I'd been meaning to get my fortune read, I was out of luck. The kids had gone there to get theirs read, but all they got was a quick here's your hat, what's your hurry routine. They were moving out. After the pit bulls, I wasn't surprised. I headed back toward Bar Harbor and pulled into a gas station. That Nova gobbles gas like you wouldn't believe, William, but it can walk and talk if you put the goat in a mat. I also grabbed me a Coke and dropped a couple of bennies, because by then I was starting to feel a little bit low. Ginelli had called his business associate and had arranged to meet him at the Bar Harbor airport that evening at 5 o'clock. Then he had driven back to Bar Harbor. He parked the Nova in a public lot and walked around town for a while, looking for the man. "What man?" Billy asked. "The man," Ginelli repeated patiently, as if speaking to an idiot. "This guy, William, you always know him when you see him. He looks like all the other summer dudes, like he could take you for a ride on his daddy's sloop, or drop 10 grams of good cocaine on you, or just decide to split the Bar Harbor scene and drive to Aspen for the Summerfest in his Trans Am. But he is not the same as they are, and there are two quick ways to find that out. You look at his shoes. That's one. This guy's shoes are bad shoes. They are shined, but they are bad shoes. They have no class, and you can tell by the way he walks that they hurt his feet. Then you look at his eyes. That's big number two. These guys, it seems like they never wear the Ferrari sunglasses, and you can always see their eyes. It's like some guys got to advertise what they are, just like some guys have got to pull jobs and then confess to the cops. Their eyes say, where's the next meal coming from? Where's the next joint coming from? Where's the guy I wanted to connect with when I came here? Do you dig me? Yes, I think I do. Mostly what the eyes say is, how do I score? What did you say the old man in Old Orchard called the pushers and the quick buck artists? Drift trade, Billy said. Yeah. Ginelli kindled. The light in his eyes whirled. Drift trade, right. Good. The man I was looking for is high-class drift trade. These guys in resort towns float around like whores looking for steady customers. They rarely fall for big stuff. They move on all the time, and they are fairly smart, except for their shoes. They got J. Press shirts and Paul Stewart sport coats and designer jeans, but then you look at their feet, and their fucking loafers say, Caldor's 1995. Their loafers say, I can be had. I'll do a job for you. With whores, it's the blouses. Always rayon blouses. You have to train them out of it. But finally I saw the man, you know? So I, like, engaged him in conversation. We sat on a